UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Chris Mack will be joining us in just a second, but the guys are in studio. Bobby V, Mike Pratt, it is Fast Break Friday. I don't have the fancy open pulled up just yet because we're kind of doing this on the fly, waiting to hear from Coach Chris Mack and Coach Cal, also meeting with the media this hour. If those two overlap, which they very well might, we'll dub Cal and replay that a little bit later on in the program. But Bob, Mike, how are we doing today, fellas?
Mike's not on. So.
We're rolling, man.
Is my mic on?
Now you're on.
Now I'm on. See what I won last night? I won at Dave and Buster's. I won a my earbuds. I won a case.
Oh, very nice.
So how much
very
did that cost you to win it?
500 coupons only. I would have got more, but
how did you get your coupons?
Oh, I won my butt off.
Did you?
Ask Nick. Although the acorn doesn't fall far from the tree because they grew up with me. The first house we bought here when we moved here, we had a toaster oven that I won at the old arcade at the River Falls Mall in Indiana. I mean, if you bought it retail, it probably would have cost you $50. I probably spent $200 winning it, but I won it. So I get a text last night.
Pride of ownership.
We were at the party, which unfortunately Mike Pratt was unable to attend.
Well, I wasn't invited. Phil Baker was kind enough to text me about 3:30, but at that time it was
too late. You got things to do, people to see. My wife's
coming home from work. She had planned dinner.
That's what I'm saying.
We had started. You know, I cooked a big steak dinner with fish on the side.
You can't do that. I mean, the proletariat like us, we can just go. But the bougie people like the Pratts, they can't make plans like that.
Well, I did a Bill Walton last night. I had peanut butter sandwich. No. We got to talk about that.
I don't even know what that's about.
I'll tell you about that.
But anyway, so we got a text from him. The party starts at 6. Most everybody goes home around 8:30 or 9. I get a text from Nick's lovely and talented significant other, right before midnight, says, "We're still here." So my boy was still playing coupon and ticket games until the wee hours.
And what was your big W acquisition?
She texted me. He just won 500 tickets.
There's this game I hadn't seen it before, but it's basically you have to catch a ball. You have to use this little wheel, and you have to get it to go from the top to the bottom by moving the ball back and forth gently and catching it. And then if you get it in the middle, you get 500 tickets. So I was actually just describing to her how it worked.
And then you won it?
Yeah. That was the only way I could hit jackpots was like explaining how the game worked. I'm like, see, hey, look, this, like, and I had tried it 3 times, had never come close. And then I'm like, all right, so the object of the game is to get it in the purple. Now, I've only been able to get it in the green, but if you see here, you hit, oh, wow, it's in the purple. Hey, 1,000 tickets. All right, babe, just try to do what I do.
Could have got two of these.
Yeah, really. That's a good point. She's really good at arcade games, though. She legitimately broke my high score like on 3 different games.
Really?
Yeah.
It's funny. There are a number of the don't yell at me because I'm not being sexist. There's no reason they shouldn't be. But a number of the female members of our staff here are among the most competitive. Your little friend Dawn in there?
Yeah.
Oh, man. She plays that basketball
Papa Shot?
No, the one where you got to get 4 in a row, Connect 4. You seen that where you shoot
that
it?
Freaking game.
Yeah, and she is, and I'm immodestly, I will tell you, I beat her. Wasn't easy, but I did win, and she was so pissed off she almost demanded her husband come play, and then she kicked his ass. here's Chris.
Poor guy.
Here's Chris Mack at the podium.
Well, I think it starts with his motor. I think he plays extremely hard. He's got long arms. He's got great size. But I think anytime you're a really good rebounder, I think it just starts with your motor. You know, you want the ball. And I think when you combine that with long arms and good instincts, it makes for a really good rebounder. Well, we know that. I mean, I don't know how you prepare for, you know. They play a lot of zone, so that tends to keep their guys out of foul trouble. They go under a lot of ball screens. They're very soft with their pressure on the basketball, so that leads to a lot less fouling. And we know, you know, who Notre Dame is. It's just how they play. And then offensively, they do a really good job of being very diligent with the ball and getting in the right spots. They post up Mooney when they can, and they shoot an awful lot of threes.
You've only played him twice here, but you probably followed him during your career. Is this a typical Notre Dame team? Would you call it a typically the way Notre Dame plays?
I don't know. I didn't follow them as closely as I do now. I know that, you know, they've got basically their entire team returning, you know, from a year ago. You know, I think Coach Bray's dealt with a lot of injuries over the last couple of years. But how they play is very unique. I mean, they shoot a lot of threes, and they're going to try to mix it up zone and man. But I couldn't tell you, like, in comparison to maybe 10 years ago, how they played.
All of Steve's numbers are up from a year ago, and he's just taking more shots in general. How much of that is on his side being more aggressive and choosing to do that, and how much of that is maybe you guys just making a decision that your offense is going to run more through?
Well, I think he's been a lot more consistent this year than he was a year ago. I think his teammates trust to get the ball to him. I think he's really working harder than he ever has for position. I think he's got a confidence that has grown over the last couple of years. He's very skilled, big guy. He can go over either shoulder. So it's not like in a scouting report the other coach can say, hey, let's push him to his right shoulder, make him shoot with his left hand. Sometimes I can't tell the difference between whether he's left-handed or right-handed around the basket. You know, he's a good free throw shooter. Not many guys his size shoot free throws very well, so you're damned if you foul him. He's going to get to the free throw line. I think he's taken less threes this year. He hasn't shot the ball as well as he did a year ago, but I think that's because he's made an emphasis on being a presence around the basket that our team needs.
Where do you need him to improve the rest of the season?
I think that, you know, Steve's made tremendous strides on the defensive end. I think that, you know, what he's done defensively this year as opposed to a year ago, I remember him being in foul trouble left and right a year ago. I think he's done a really good job of understanding how to defend ball screens, which is a large part of the game. I think he's done a really good job in his post defense. You know, I can't ask a whole lot more out of Steve other than just continue to be consistent. And I think if he does that, then we're going to continue to find him, and he's going to continue to play big minutes for our team.
Feel like he's pretty much the second option behind Jordan?
He might be a second scorer, but I don't know if he's our second option. I'd like to think of those guys as 1 and 1A or 1A and 1B, you know, because they score the ball in different spots. I think you need a post presence. I know the analytics and all the people in the NBA, you know, love layups and threes, but I think you need a post presence. I think, you know, when the game gets close, you need to be able to throw the ball inside and not just play on the perimeter. And Steve provides that for us. Our team has to recognize that and understand that. And I think for the most part, you know, we've had times where we've forgotten about him, and we can't do that. But, you know, we're going to go to both of those guys to answer your question.
There were four or five possessions right out of the half Tuesday night where he ends up with the ball. Was that a deliberate emphasis on your part, or is that just how the game?
No, it was deliberate. You know, we wanted to go inside to Steve. We got too stagnant on the perimeter in doing so. I think that players heard the message, hey, get the ball into Steve. But when one player had it on the perimeter, the other three players on the perimeter were looking at him like, are you getting into Steve? And then the ball would get thrown to the next guy. Are you getting into Steve? We need more perimeter movement while we're trying to throw that ball inside. And then I think Steve needs to help us a little bit more and get a little bit deeper and not so much settle for a 7-foot jump hook, but can he get it closer to the basket? When he got upset, when he got frustrated, he started getting fouled around the rim, and most of his shots were 1-foot, 2-foot shots, or at least 2-foot attempts. The spin baseline, the dunk, the foul. I mean, those are the type of aggressive moves we need from Steve.
When you're making that point of emphasis to your players, can you give us a sense for how you deliver it? What do you say? Get the ball into Steve? Or
well, I think
more emphatic than that.
No, I think that we always want to be a team that attacks from defense to offense. I think our team has done a much better job of being a little bit more deliberate in running. And, you know, you've got to take what you get. Maybe it's a Jordan transition three, a Ryan transition three. We're going to take those. But we can't forget about Steve when it becomes a half-court game. And even in transition, I mean, we're trying to seal his man as deep as we can, close to the basket. But we can't forget about him. And he's got to do his part and know that, hey, every once in a while a player is going to miss you, but you can't get frustrated with that. You can't quit posting. You can't be on the other side of the floor when the ball's on the right side of the floor. You can't be on the left side. And he's doing a good job.
He said, you made the point that you all need to get back to doing what makes you good. He said that involves being more patient on offense. What do you think?
I think that, you know, what I tried to say after the game the other night is exactly how I feel after watching the film, and that is our team's playing well at times in spurts, and we get up 30-10. And I think the last 3 or 4 minutes, some of the shots that we shot weren't good. And it took us out of an offensive rhythm really for about 12 to 15 straight minutes. And our team has to understand, I think, on offense, what makes us good. We're sharing the ball. I talked about transition, talked about getting in you know, inside to Steve, trying to establish him. And that's how we have to play all the way through. You know, you get a lead where you're up 12, 15 points. Now it's not, hey, Lucas's turn to, hey, try this shot. You know, you try that shot. Like, good teams don't do that. And it's been a little frustrating, but we're going to work through it, and we're going to become better. And hopefully moments like the other night, again, teach our team what makes us good.
Jim Larranaga, excuse me, talked about the difference in the ACC this year as a conference and the turnover that you've had. And we're seeing North Carolina struggling perhaps more than they have in decades. What do you see here? What has changed about the conference as a whole?
Well, I mean, I think it starts with that, just the personnel. The rosters have changed dramatically. I don't think, and I know Tony Bennett's talked about it, but I don't think his program necessarily is prepared to lose, you know, three guys to the NBA in 1 year that all weren't seniors. And, you know, there's certain programs in our league that are going to lose two and three guys and four guys to the NBA year after year. But it just seemed like it all happened at the same time. And so when you look at who was on the first team and second team all ACC from a year ago, none of those guys are back. And so, you know, you're going to have a lot of youth in the league, and certain teams build their roster through experience and guys gaining experience and freshmen becoming sophomores and vice versa. But there are a lot of freshmen, a lot of newcomers in our league.
You ever see yourself being a home for one-and-done player?
I don't know about a home. You know, I don't paint all one-and-done players with the same brush. You know, I think it comes down to each individual case. You know, I remember years ago as an assistant coach at Wake Forest, walking Greg Oden around. And, you know, you can tell that he cared about going to class. You could tell that, you know, he was a smart kid. You could tell that, like, he was going to be, you know, a dynamic player, from, you know, in the 1 year he was going to be there. And then I think you can sort of weed through who really wants to be in school. And, you know, we're always going to recruit the kids that we feel can help us, but at the same time are guys that are going to play for Louisville first.
Jordan's comments about the social media reaction he got at the UK game, does stuff like that ever surprise you, or did you have any reaction to that?
It's sad to say it doesn't surprise me anymore. You know, people are wild on social media, and just it's just the way of the world. It's a little sad. It's really sad, but it doesn't surprise me in the least anymore. And that part's sad to say.
Thank you.
The idea that he would be receiving threats, is that something that is being investigated?
It is. I don't know anything more than that, but it wasn't one of those, you know, cursory deals where we just overlooked it. You know, the proper people and the authorities here at Louisville are doing what they're supposed to do and following up.
Garrett showed the ability to attack Apple when he gets in the lane. Is that something you try to stress that he needs to do a little bit more?
We want that ball to get in the paint. Darius has that ability, and I think he's become so much better than he was a year ago when he got there. You know, I think last year he made a lot of bad plays. Got to be a better finisher. That's why it was really good to see him make that and one, you know, late in the game. But make no mistake, how we play and how we want to play is to be a team that generates our offense by getting the ball in the paint. And we talked about establishing Steve. We talked about, you know, pushing in transition, dribble penetration, and cutting off the ball. Those are a couple other ways we can get the ball in the paint. Darius is doing a much better job this year, absolutely.
How much of that do you think is a product of, you know, he and Steve have been together for a few years, and now you've got those experienced guys who kind of understand each other's tendencies?
You mean Darius and Steve? Well, I just think that the experience helps in anything that you do. You know, whether it was built on bad experiences and learning what you shouldn't do, or gaining confidence in the positive experiences that you do have. And I think, you know, they understand or should understand how we want to play on offense and what their strengths can be for our team. And I think they're trying to carry those out.
Anything else for Coach?
Thank you.
There you go. That press conference by Chris Mack, brought to you by Class Act Federal Credit Union. It's like straight A's for your money. Are they still doing the contest, or has that ended? Do we know?
I think that keeps going. Okay. Text ESPN to 502-212-3167 for a chance to win weekly Visa gift cards.
That's at Class Act Federal Credit Union.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah. Those sandwiches are pretty good, by the way, aren't they?
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, that's a. Which,
you know, the other sandwich down there that's good is the California deal that has the avocados and turkey.
Hey, so what is this Bill Walton thing you're talking about?
Oh, yeah. So I'm watching Michigan and Purdue last night, and the big boy from Purdue put on a show. Okay, even though they lost, he put on a show. Now, it doesn't have great lateral quickness, but
he's come a long way.
He's one of the few guys in college basketball, Bob, who could play with his back to the basket. Yes, really, just slobbers over it to get the ball in there. Okay, so it's a terrific game, and I'm watching the overtime. So I go across the dial, knowing I wanted to see Oregon. I had seen them once. I had never seen Arizona. Wanted to see the redheaded kid.
Mm-hmm.
Starting to watch a game. And Dave Pasch and Walton are doing the games. So now Walton's talking about the Willamette River. Now, my daughter lived in Portland for over 9 years, so I'm familiar. Willamette River, seventh biggest in the country I didn't know any of some other stuff. Then all of a sudden, they come out of a break, and they go right to Pasch and Walton.
On camera.
Walton, with a raggedy shirt on, a pair of jeans, is eating peanut butter off his finger. Right on set.
See, people give me crap for eating on the air on radio. He's doing it on television. He had the Joey Tribbiani peanut butter.
Maybe Dino saw that. I don't know.
Well, let's get Dino on. Dino's nice enough to join us on a weekly basis. One of the reasons he's a cancer survivor himself, as is Mike Pratt. Help us bring awareness to the research and the fight against cancer through Kentuckiana Friends of V. Find out more at KFOV.org. We're doing some great things. But, Dino, this is one of the reasons I love coaching and I love sports, because obviously the Louisville and Kentucky rivalry is about as spirited as there can be. But when you get a situation like the one you're going to talk to us about, that absolutely transcends any rivalry stuff, and we appreciate you being with us. It's about John Robick's daughter, and you've known him for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, Bobby. We've been friends for over 30 years and you know, known John for a long time, and, you know, both of us in our early coaching career. And then, you know, Coach Cal's daughter put out a tweet that Coach Robick's daughter, Haley, has liver cancer, and they're looking for a match for a transplant. And when I saw that, I was just, like, you know, visibly upset. Like, as a parent, we never hurt more than when our kids are hurting. And there can't be a worse situation for a parent than what John and Heidi are going through now. And then someone tweeted out, hey, Big Blue Nation, you know, we need your support. And then, you know, I'm not a big social media guy. And I thought, hey, this is a great thing for Big Blue Nation and Cardinal Nation. Everybody, like, pulled together to see if we could find a match for Coach Robic's daughter. And, Bob, I'll send you the link, and if you could put it on your website or something, you know how I am socially.
Sure.
I'm not sure what the heck to do, but then you click on it, and there's a little procedure you go through before, if you want to be, see how you might be a match. And but yeah, it's incredibly troubling as a parent when one of your kids are in a situation like Coach Robic's daughter's in. But hopefully everybody could, hey, that game's a big game and it means a lot, but I think now it sheds light on, you know, there's so many more important things that, you know, we Kentuckians could all pull together and try to help one another with. And this is a great, great cause that we could pull our resources and maybe help, you know, one of our own.
Dino, I saw, I went into the room where the team eats. You know, you're very familiar with that. And I go in a little early and get a coffee or a piece of fruit or something in the morning.
Yep.
And Robes is in there before anybody gets there. He's working on the computer, working on his scouting report. So I get my coffee and I go over by him, just stand there chatting with him. And I said, well, how are your girls? They got to be out of college now. And because he's been there as long as Cal's been there, 11 years.
Yeah.
And I remember when those gals used to come to the game or go to the NCAA team on the team plane. And he said, well, they're okay. He says, all three of them are out of college. They all got jobs. And I said, well, they live in Lexington. And he goes, no, one's in Nashville, one's here, and then one is in Lexington. And I said, well, that's good. Your wife can see them. That's close enough wherever the third one was. We had a nice conversation. I felt like crap yesterday.
He never mentioned anything to you.
He never mentioned a thing. And I felt like crap yesterday that I read it online about his daughter. And, he didn't say a thing. But as you said with your children, that can be very personal.
Anybody who's got any empathy can certainly feel for it, but especially if you have kids.
Yeah.
Think about,
oh
my God, if your kid was going through this. So you said it so well, Dino. This transcends any fan base or anything like that.
Yep.
This is
absolutely. Absolutely. And just hopefully we can all pull our resources together to, like I said, help one of our own. And you know, Coach, like in this coaching community, I don't care whether it's football, basketball, like, Everybody knows each other. Like, you know, those guys over there are good friends of mine. I know the fan base sometimes has a hard time understanding that. And, you know, Skip was from Pittsburgh and Cal was from Pittsburgh. And I've known Cal for 30 years. Joel Justice, their assistant at Kentucky, his mom was our secretary at Wake Forest. And she's still there for 9 years. So there's all these connections and everybody's close, and just that one game obviously puts us on different sidelines. But now hopefully we can again excuse the redundancy, pull together and for a great, great cause if we could help out.
See, that you're defined by the people in your life who are your friends, and I'm going to get hokey, but I'm telling you, that's why I'm very proud to count you as a friend, because I didn't even know about it. You alerted me to it this morning, and I know how sincere you are about it. When you got good people around you, you have lived a good life, so that's a very nice thing you did, and we're happy to try and help, and I hope we can find there's a picture of Haley. And, you know, when you see a picture of somebody, it personifies the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does.
Yeah.
So. Hopefully we can do something. So if you go, I'll have a link to the whole story on my Twitter, and maybe our ESPN Louisville people will do it as well. So hopefully something. I don't know. Is she an odd blood type? Do we know?
I don't know anything more than it was announced.
I don't know that. Yeah, I don't know that. But there's a thing that I'll send it to you, Bob. You can the listeners out there could click on it, and then it takes you through some steps to see, you know, all of that sort of thing, and then if you're a match in that sense, and excuse my ignorance, I'm not well-versed at there, then I think there's a next step that you take.
Okay, well, we'll see, and hopefully we'll have good news. The good news is, I don't know if you guys saw this, but we're going to send it out to our friends at Kentuckiana Friends of V, the KFOV. It was in a New York newspaper yesterday. The rate of incidence of cancer has been the lowest in 20 years. And survival rates for some cancers that were absolutely used to be just instant death sentences have changed. So hopefully this young lady can find a donor and live a long, fruitful life. That's what we certainly will all hope. So we shall see.
Absolutely.
How long are you cancer-free, Dino? When were you diagnosed?
You know what? It's been almost 16 years
now. Wow, good for you.
And my mom, you know, God bless my mom. How about this, Bob? She was 38 years old when she found out she had colon cancer.
Oh, my God.
And she's 84 today.
Wow.
She had real bad. And you know, we're from Ohio, and my dad, and heck, I was a junior in high school, took her to Ohio State University Hospital, and I don't want to get too graphic, but they took out almost 6 feet of her intestines and went in. She had multiple surgeries, like almost 4 surgeries over a 8-month period. And God bless her. She's as tough as a
84.
She's as
tough
as an iron horse. And then, so because of her, I would always go get checked.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at Wake as an assistant, and I just go in for a physical every year, and a doctor goes, "Hey, what's that lump on your throat?" I go, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "Right there." I go, "I don't know." He goes, "How long you had?" I go, "Doc, I got no idea." They take a biopsy. You know, a week later, I'm recruiting Kendall Marshall at Bishop O'Connell High School, right outside of D.C. The phone rings. It's a doctor. I go, "Doc, what's up?" He goes, "Hey, Coach, where you at?" I go, "Hey, I'm on the road recruiting." He goes, "When you back in?" I'll never forget. It was a Wednesday. I go, "I'm back in on Friday." He goes, "Hey, come and see me." Then it dawns on me I had that biopsy. I said, "Hey, Doc, does this have to do with the test I had?" He goes, "Yeah." I go, "What's up?" He goes, "I'll talk to you when I see you."
That's not good.
And I threw a couple choice words at him. I go, "Hey, Doc, if you think
I'm going to wait till Friday,
I'm going to wait 2 days. Excuse my language. What the hell's going on?" He goes, "Coach, you got thyroid cancer."
Oh, wow.
I was like stunned, like Mike Tyson hit me. I walked right out of the gym, went right to Reagan Airport, flew home, and I was lucky that, you know, it's the one of the most curable types of cancer, and I took my thyroid gland out, and I'm blessed. So all good.
Does that explain why you're so short? I was just wondering, does that have anything?
It is. God darn it. Right now, I should have played in the league for probably 10 years. I was going to be 6'7", 6'8", and that's what happened. It stunted my growth.
You can only say that to a good friend. So, well, I'm glad I've got two cancer survivors on the show. Not that I'm glad you had cancer, but I'm awfully glad both you guys seem to be doing so well. So, Dino,
appreciate
I know you got to get out to the court. You guys are getting ready. I'll see you at the airport, and off we go to Notre Dame. So how's practice gone since the last game? Good?
You know what? I'll tell you what. These kids compete. They're terrific, have a great attitude. And you know what? You notice when you have a team like this, it's a pleasure to go to practice every day. We got no knuckleheads, and just got to head them in the right direction. And I think we're on that path right now.
Well, good. All right, buddy. I'll see you in a few hours. Thanks, man.
Okay.
See you, Dino.
All right.
He's good people.
Yeah, he is.
He really is. You surround yourself with good people. You're a very blessed person. You really are. And if you needed help, he'd do it for you. And I didn't realize he and Robic go back that far, though. 30 years. Wow.
Well, Robic coached up in northern Ohio.
Yeah, that's where Dino's from.
Okay. Is he from northern Ohio?
Oh,
I knew he wasn't from southern Ohio.
No.
I would have known him.
Yeah.
Right?
Cool, of course. Yeah. That's the only thing you'll hold against him. He's not from Dayton. But
that's right.
He knows where Dayton is, at least.
But Robes coached up Youngstown State, I think it was, for a while, if I've got that right. So they pass-crossed a bunch at that time. My brother had throat cancer.
He did?
And he's a survivor, too. Yeah,
wow.
And it came back on him.
No
they
boy.
Never found exactly the
source?
Spot,
yeah.
The source. And it came back, and then they went in, and it's been 5 years now that he's been cancer-free.
That's one of the reasons, not to turn this into a cancer seminar, and I'm far from an expert, but sadly, when you go through what we've gone through, you learn.
You know a little bit more.
The reason, it's one of the reasons, not the only reason, of course, but one of the reasons it's so important to try and get it early is all cancers start in an organ. I didn't know that. And so if you all of a sudden it's a bunch of, or someplace else, that's a problem because they have a hard time. If they get it early, that's generally near the source. Like part of the problem with my brother's cancer, by the time they got it, they had no idea. It's very rare. I think it's less than 3% of the cancers, if you pass away, it was from unknown origin. That's how it's defined. It was cancer of unknown origin. By the time they found that it was in his bones, it was – so they were – you talk about scattershot three. He got treated for everything. They treated him for prostate cancer, for breast – they even gave him breast cancer drugs. They gave him every – because they didn't know where the hell it started.
Try to find it.
They're hoping to get – and that you don't want to be – gee, I hope – it's like that commercial, you know, with the doctor. Well, it might be good enough. You don't want that when your treatment. No. You want – and now they can pinpoint things so well that if you can get it early, that really helps the cause. So how did you – did you have any symptoms or you just went for your checkup?
No, matter of fact, I just went in for my screening. And, you know, I had a situation kind of like Dino. I go in for my screening and I'm done. I'm sitting there. I'm laying there. You know, this doctor comes in and my wife's there and he looks at me. He says, I got some bad news. And we're going like, uh-oh.
That's not
he
what you want to
hear. He says, you got a polyp that is very, very cancerous, and it's up against your bladder.
Oh, God.
Okay. He said to me, he said, look, he said, we're going to go down here and take some pictures and blah, blah, blah. He said, but all I can tell you is I'm praying for you, and it doesn't look good.
You're kidding. No. You never told me that.
No, yeah. And my wife sits up in her chair, and I'm going, holy moly.
Oh, my God. I never knew any of that.
So I go down, and they take a bunch of pictures, and I never see him again. But the doctor I had, she is really good. She was really positive, and she did the procedure. But, yeah, he told me, he says, look, I'll pray for you. It doesn't look very good.
Wow. So, they hardly ever say that. Well, I'm glad he was – I mean, I give him – I don't want to say credit, but sometimes they pretty things up, and that doesn't really help a lot of people. I want to know what the real deal is.
Yeah, I want to
but
be
that was a little
positive. I don't
scared
want to go
you a little bit left there, left. And I'm glad she took
made
care of it.
Made me pucker up, trust me.
Jimmy's was bad. This is so typical of him, though. That's why I admired him so much. He would find humor in the damnest places. The doctor brought him in, and the guy was white as ghosts, so Jim was like, I know this isn't going to be good. And he brought him in, and he said, this is a picture of a healthy spine, and you see it's all white. And, you know, the dark spots on the bones, everything's white. And then they showed Jim's, and the whole thing, it's about as big as a basketball, is covered in this gray cloud. And he said, and that's your spine. And Jim said, well, maybe you forgot to use the flash. Oh,
what? That's good humor.
I mean, I give him credit for that.
Of course, a lot of people listening don't remember when they had a flash camera.
That's
right?
A good point. You know what I mean? What is he talking about? Yeah. Like I tell people, I still refer to that building on Shelbyville Road as the Flash Cube building.
Yes.
And they don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Kodak. They don't know Kodak.
Flash Cube? What is that?
So. Is that like Mario's early sidekick when he fought Donkey Kong?
No, sorry.
Flash Cube?
Good try. No, not exactly. That is true. You remember, we're old enough to remember back the early cameras, you had to get an actual bulb.
Oh, yeah.
It was hit or miss
yeah.
whether it worked. Then they had the cartridge, which was all excited, which was one bulb, but at least it was a cartridge, so it always worked. Then the cube, you just snapped it in, and it was four. There was a little bulb on each side.
Some of them
and
never
flashed.
And
it rotated by itself, and click, click, click. Oh, that was, now you're talking technology. That's what
you
we're
saying.
You
got a defective flash cube and you might get three pictures because the fourth flash or maybe the third flash.
One of them was no good.
You talk about, I got to go back. You have got to find this someplace because this was the highlight of my night.
Wow.
Okay. Look at it. Bill Walton eating peanut butter with his finger.
He was having, that's Joey Tribbiani from Friends, peanut butter fingers, remember? And they say, what are peanut butter fingers? And he goes, he takes six things in the jar. He's having peanut butter fingers.
And Pash, his partner,
he says,
you're not going to eat it with crackers? And they have a conversation about peanut butter, and then Walton's off the wall about peanut butter. You know, is it crunchy? No, I don't. Is it? And then Pash says, well, you want some crackers? You need? No, he said, I just eat it with my finger, dips his finger. Are you kidding me? Now, Rich Brooks tweeted out something.
Rich Brooks did?
Yeah, the
about
old football
that?
Coach. Yeah. He said, Bill Walton has done the whole first half and never said anything about basketball.
No.
He said, all about
it's
peanut
50-50
butter.
It's 50-50 if he knows who's playing.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's got a gig.
Well, it's got a more high-paying gig than you and I have, unfortunately.
That's right.
I mean, the weird thing is Pash, who I worked with early in his career, is pretty much a real straightforward, you know, meat and potatoes guy. He wants to call the game. And I give him credit because I don't know anybody else that could work with Bill. I swear. I mean, he's just how he has to still try and call the game and sit next to the guy who's
the, 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 the makes, league, The Conference of Champions. They always throw the conference.
Somebody give me a jar of closed peanut butter.
Here you go.
There we go.
There you go.
Go ahead. Here we go. Just going to put some of this on your head here. Come on, man. This will be really good for you. You'll see things a lot better. Have some of my peanut butter, man.
You pay attention to the game. Najee. Okay,
you made a basket. Now 7-7.
I'll try that with Paul Ryan tonight.
It's supposed to go on your face. Rub it all over yourself.
I regret now that I opened.
Somebody give me a jar of closed peanut butter.
Oh, man. I'll say that to Paul tonight. Hey, Paul, they made a basket.
And they had a shot of him with the container of peanut butter, okay? And he was dressed like he was going to a Grateful Dead concert. You know, it was just like, come on, Bill. They're paying you for this gig. I know, you know, at least get a button down shirt.
That's when you know you've reached a certain point when the rules, remember,
No. In your mouth, not on my head.
Okay,
Watching the game.
He's trying to talk.
I love Peter.
Basket. Josh Green gets the bucket. A foul is called.
He's having
so
peanut butter fingers.
He's back to 10. All right, now, are you able to still talk? Do I need to get some, like a third party here to help get it out so you can talk the rest of the game?
I love peanut butter.
I guess. And peanut butter is very good for you. You know, on the the Broadway actors and actresses, especially actresses,
high energy.
They live on peanut butter. Yeah. I mean, like the matinee day between the 2 o'clock show and the 8 o'clock show, they're backstage and they're just
my favorite is
peanut
crunchy.
Butter. You like the crunchy?
Oh, I like crunchy.
Oh, yeah. Except it's got so much profanity in it. You've got to hear.
And there is a little Mario.
Little Mario,
and then. The head football.
It's Mario Cristobal.
Oh. They called him a little Mario. I was going to say.
And then the head football.
He's having peanut butter. He's having peanut butter fingers with Bill Walton.
Little Mario joined him for peanut butter fingers?
Yeah. Little Mario is sitting on his dad's lap eating peanut butter from Bill Walton, and Bill Walton's wearing an Oregon football helmet.
I must have gotten up to get a beer.
You would have remembered that. Pretty sure you would have remembered that. We'll see. I've got some. This is the first time in my how many years I've been doing the games for ESPN on radio that we are doing Pac-12 games, and I'll be very surprised if at least a couple of those games are not also the TV game. May cross paths with Mr. Walton. But I was going to say, that's when you know you've made it, because remember Bob Knight refused to wear a shirt and tie on the air? He would wear a sweater.
Yeah.
All the other broadcasters had to wear shirt and ties, and Walton's showing up in jeans.
He had a raggedy old ESPN golf shirt. I mean, it didn't fit him.
Walton?
Of course, you know, he's 7 foot.
He can't exactly buy off the rack.
But and he's not buying anything. That was a given to him by ESPN.
Am I the only one who thinks Walton is on some serious drugs? Actually, I'm fairly certain he's not. This is just who the dude is, if you ever hang with him. Although he's also not dumb. It's shtick.
Let me tell you.
He's
partaken of some left-handed cigarettes, trust me.
Well, there's no question about that, but that's... That nowadays, that's
what
not
was a, that partaking in
left-handed cigarettes.
That's old school, Nicky.
That is. He definitely went old school. Every person of our generation, I can imagine nowadays, but back then especially because it wasn't legal,
left-handed.
No, a code for.
Oh yeah.
Our dorm was. I'm going to sit down on a Doobie Brothers concert.
The Scooby Dooby. That's what you had.
Oh, people are crazy. And so are we. We'll take a short break. We'll come back. Thanks for being with us. It's Fast Break Friday. He's Mike. I'm Bob. And you're whoever you are. And stick around. ESPN Radio.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded.
Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.